як умру, то поховайте мене на могилі. Серед степу широко на вкраїні милі, щоблани широко полі, і Дніпро, і кручі. Було видно, було чути, як реве ревучі. Щоблани широко полі, і Дніпро, і кручі. Було видно, було чути, як реве ревучі. Як понесе з України у синє море, кров ворожу отойтіє, і лани, і гори. Все покину і полину до самого Бога, буду молитися, а до того я не знаю Бога. Все покину і полину до самого Бога, буду молитися, а до того я не знаю Бога. Поховайте та вставайте, кайдани порвіте, і вражою свою кров'ю волю окропіте. І мене в селі великі, в селі волі нові, не забудьте пом'янути незлим тихим словом. І мене в селі великі, в селі волі нові, не забудьте пом'янути незлим тихим словом.
And that song that you just heard is a fairly new release by Dmytro Bohush, and he's with a group called Decipher. And that is in keeping with this month's theme of Shevchenko. That was Shevchenko's Zapovit, one of his most famous poems. It translates as Testament. And like so many of his poems, that has been put to music by this young group in a very contemporary form.
Добрий день і вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачі «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка передається вам з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. З вами Павліна Макворі, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you from Vancouver Island on the west coast of Canada, courtesy PCJ Radio. I'm your host, Paulette Demchuk-McQuarrie, Pokrinske Pavlina, and I'm delighted to have you with me. We've got a great program lined up for you. We have a commentary from Ukraine today about Nadia Savchenko. As well, we have Victor's vignettes and a look back at what it was like growing up in the old Soviet Union. As well, we have our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And carrying on with the Shevchenko poems to music theme is a bit of a blast to the past. It is a group from Edmonton. It has had many incarnations. They're called Dumka, and that means thoughts. And this next song is from not a CD, but a vinyl record. And it was released back in the early 1980s, and the name of the album was Soundscapes, and the name of the song you're about to hear is Sonce Zachodit, Sunset.
Сонце заходить, гори чорніють, пташечка тихне, полені міє. Радіють люди, що почтуть, а я дивлюся і серце денни, денни за дочо на Украину. Ой, денни, денни за дочо на Украину. Лину я лину, умагаю, и ниже серце отпочиває. Чом є поле, і гай гори, на синє небо виходит зоря. Зоре, ой, зоре, зоре, ой, зоре, ой, зоре, зоре, і сльози кану. Чи ти зійшла черна в країні, чи очікає тебе шукають? На небі синім, чи забувають, коли забуть? Мою доленьку старі не чули, ай, про мою доленьку старі не чули. Щоб і не чули, ой, про мою доленьку, щоб і не чули.
A special feature courtesy Ukraine Today, Ukraine's first English language TV and news channel. The following is one of a series of features exploring pressing issues in today's Ukraine. Today's commentary takes a look at the plight of Nadia Savchenko, the Ukrainian pilot and member of parliament currently in prison in Russia and on trial on trumped-up charges. It also takes a look at the difficulties Ukrainians are having in fighting for the human rights of Ukrainians unjustly imprisoned in Russia.
Hello and welcome to Viewpoint. I'm Rahim Rahim Tulam. Joining me today is Polina Brodick, a human rights activist at the Center for Civil Liberties. Polina, welcome to Viewpoint. You join us with just a week or so to go before a Russian court is due to announce the verdict in the case of Nadia Savchenko, the Ukrainian fighter pilot who was captured in the summer of 2014 and forcibly taken across the border into Russia. She is accused of involvement in the death of two Russian journalists. This has become very much a world issue. Savchenko is known in many countries. Perhaps to start, just tell us, what do you expect to happen in a week's time in the Russian court?
Well, it's not a surprise that most likely she will be sentenced to the to 23 or 25 years of imprisonment. And as she said, she would proceed her hunger strike for at least 10 days. But at the same time, we realize that even if she starts another dry hunger strike, she would be fed forcibly.
So you think, I mean, they're going to charge her for 23 or 25 years for involvement
most likely in these murders.
She'll go to prison and that will be the end of the story. It seems unlikely.
Well, we will not stop working, definitely. And I think that the international community will not stop protesting against it. And it's a message for Putin and for the government, Russian government. And also Ukrainian government will proceed working on this case, of course, because it's impossible that this person would stay in prison for so many years. And also there are so many other Ukrainians who are kept in Russian prisons and for whom we try to find some solutions and the ways to transfer him from Russia to Ukraine. So she's not alone.
Is your organization is involved in trying to raise awareness about the Ukrainian prisoners in Russia, of which Savchenko is perhaps the most well known, but there are perhaps 20, 30 others who you're also advocating for?
Exactly. Savchenko is the most famous case, actually. During her dry hunger strike, there were more than 130 protests all over the world. Of course, this is the best known case in the world. But there are also 24 persons more kept in Russian prisons right now. And we are working to raise awareness, as you said, and to advocate for their rights. Because it's not only that they're kept there illegally, their rights are violated severely. They're tortured. They're kept without lawyers, without any help, even medical help. And we are trying to provide them to ensure that their rights are observed there.
The question of rights, I think, is an interesting one, especially in the context of Savchenko, because it very much depends on how you interpret her imprisonment. For example, here in Ukraine, they're very likely to see Savchenko as a prisoner of war. In Russia, she's being treated simply as an ordinary criminal. So therefore, for example, if she's a prisoner of war, they need to observe the Geneva Convention, which Savchenko's lawyers say is not happening. If she's just an ordinary criminal, different rules apply. I presume for you and your organization, the people in Russian prisons, are they all prisoners of war or political prisoners? Would that be more correct?
Not quite. There are several groups. So we categorize them. There are 25 persons, as I said. And there is a well-known as well case of Alexensov, for instance. And we know that there is Alexensov, Alexander Kolchenko, Alexei Chernyi, and Gennady Afanasyev.
Alexensov, he was a filmmaker, and he was arrested in the occupied Crimean Peninsula.
Yes, they all were arrested there. Also, there is a case of the Chechen case, and we know about this case due to Arseniy Yatsenyuk, who is supposedly took part in the Chechen war.
Yes.
So, yeah. Also, there is a case of three spies, so-called spies. And also, there is a son of Jamilev. And the case of 26th of February and the case of Hizbut Tahrir.
So the various different circumstances here for the different prisoners, do you think then that Savchenko's case could act as a prototype for the other cases? For example, they say that we might see a prisoner exchange between Savchenko and Russians held here in Ukraine. Do you think, is that an option for all of these cases, or is it going to take a different approach?
Not for all, because, for instance, there is also a Russian citizen in this list who actually was born on the territory of Ukraine but took his Russian citizenship after the collapse of the Soviet Union. So these kinds of approach cannot be applied to him, of course. And for the majorities, it differs from case to case, but the most likely way out is the exchange, as we think.
That is going to depend, of course, on the politics as much as anything else. So what would you like to see here in Ukraine, the steps that the government could take to bring about this exchange? Because, as I understand, for Russia, it's going to be extremely difficult politically to make this happen, because Russia until now has never admitted that it is party to the war in eastern Ukraine. Therefore, it seems that if it were to take part in a prisoner exchange, that would in some way appear for them to be admitting some involvement, some guilt in what's happening in eastern Ukraine. That seems unlikely to happen.
That's true, but at the same time, there is also, I missed him, there is also Sergei Litvinov. He was accused in taking part in ATO region,
This is the Ukrainian military operations in eastern Ukraine.
Yes, exactly. But actually, he's a farmer, and he never killed anyone, although they said that he killed more than 30 people and raped some women just to, you know, to disturb the demographic situation in the region, because these people speak Russian, and he tried to, you know, to stir the demographic situation between those who speak Russian there. But now, he's not accused of it at all. The prosecutor said that there is no ground to charge him with these crimes. Although he's still prosecuted in Russia, but under different charges. So there are some ways how they could, you know, maneuver in this situation. But we will see, because we all know that Russia is unpredictable.
It is unpredictable. So these seem like show trials, in other words,
yes.
Is what the lawyers also for Savchenko have described her case. And so in Ukraine, then, what steps should the government be taking to try to de-escalate this situation and lead to a resolution?
I think it's not only Ukraine who could do something. It's up to international community as well and other countries, because economic sanctions would help, probably, or would influence the situation to some way. And unfortunately, I'm not sure that Ukrainian side can, you know, foster Putin to release all of these people. Of course, they have negotiations about it all the time, but it's not very effective, as we can see.
Nadia Savchenko's sister, Vera Savchenko, for example, recently said that we need a full economic blockade of Russia. Something like that threatens to really escalate the situation, though, perhaps to a level where we wouldn't want to see it. Do you agree with that, something like that, a full economic blockade of Russia? Is that not too extreme a measure?
It's a good question. Well, it sounds very extreme, I agree. But maybe threats... Even only threats, if they stay at the level of threats, that would be helpful as well.
Polina, we're almost out of time, unfortunately. So just give us your final assessment then going forward. I believe, is it going to be a case of a double effort? It's going to take the international community to continue pressuring Moscow. It's going to take civil groups like yourself to continue to raise awareness and organize other civil activities, yeah, to try to bring this all to some kind of resolution. Is that ultimately the way forward?
I think yes. The only way to struggle with this situation is to combine our strength. And it's separately, we cannot help Savchenko and other of these people. Only together we can, you know, protest and do something better.
All right. Well, Polina, many thanks for joining us. We'll have to see when the verdict comes in a week's time, exactly which way events will go. Many thanks for joining us here on Viewpoint.
Thank you.
I've been joined by Polina Brodick, a human rights activist at the Center for Civil Liberties. That's all we have time for. Do join us again.
This has been a special feature courtesy Ukraine's first English language TV and news channel, Ukraine Today. To hear more from Ukraine Today, check all of this week's editions of Nash Holos at www.nashholos.com. And for their full roster of breaking stories, as well as interviews, press reviews, and in-depth analysis on Ukraine, follow Ukraine Today on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and their live blog, uatoday.tv. Ви слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada.
Єсть на світі доля, хто її має? Єсть на світі воля, а хто її знає? Єсть на світі доля, а хто її має? Єсть на світі воля, а хто її знає? Єсть люди на світі, сріблом, злотом сяють, здається, панують, а долі не мають. Ні долі, ні волі. срібло, злото, та будьте багаті, а я возьму сльози лихо виливати.
And that is a brand new release by Toronto group Dovira featuring Stacey Yerofeyeva on vocals. And that song is so new. It was released on March 12th. And appropriately, it is the words of Taras Shevchenko set to music. And I'm going to read to you a translation of this poem. There is freedom in the world, but who knows it? There is fortune out there, but who owns it? There are people out there who shine in gold and silver. They seem to rule, yet freedom they don't have. No freedom, no fortune, just misery and boredom. They wear the fur coat, but are ashamed to cry. You take your gold and silver, and may you be wealthy. I will choose my tears to pour out the sorrow. I will drown all captivity in my little tears. I will stomp on misfortune with my naked feet, for I am happy, for I am wealthy, as my heart walks in freedom. That song was titled Yes Na Sviti, and it doesn't translate very well directly. It means there is in the world, but there you have it. Stacey Yerofeyeva and Dovira from Toronto. And Dovira is a Canadian group that fuses Ukrainian and Eastern European folk music with jazz, rock, experimental, and other world music influences. Carrying on with that sort of ethereal, experimental sound, here is Cherry Band from Ukraine and a song Well, actually, it is an offshoot of the Cherry Band. They are called Troia Zelia. And this next song is a cover of a very popular song by Andriy Kuzmenko, the late head of the wildly popular rock group Scriabin. And you can hear more about the tribute and Kuzma, as Kuzmenko is affectionately known by his fans, which are numerous in Ukraine. And you can hear an interview with one of the members of Troia Zelia, Stanislav, and that was on the February 11th edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. So just check out the podcast at the website, www.nashholos.com. Meanwhile, here is Troia Zelia with Dance of the Penguins.
Thank you.
And another brand new acquisition, at least into the Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio Library, and that is a group from Vancouver, also called Zelia, and that is a word for herb. And this song was from a CD that will be actually released on April 2nd in Vancouver. And we'll be telling you more next week about it. We'll be speaking with Beverly Dobrinsky, who heads up this group and has done for well over 20 years. I think we're talking close to 30 years. At any rate, the name of the CD is Tsetak Bulo, which means, and that's how it was, and the song was a medley of two songs about water, quiet water and flowing water. Teka voda, techa voda. Up next is a song about the realities of war and 100 years ago for those pioneers that are the theme of that CD of Beverly's. Life wasn't really that much different. There was a war back home. And here is a group of soldiers that recorded this song. It's called Skorostil Kufaika, Rapid Fire.
Скоро стріл куфайка і з тризубом шапка ватра лісова. Даруй, Боже, моїй Україні вільні права. Даруй, Боже, моїй Україні вільні права. Скоро стріл куфайка і з тризубом шапка і нічна зоря, побратима мого зачепила, куля вражає, побратима мого зачепила, куля вражає, він лежить на листі пізньою весною, і нічна зоря. Поховаю рядом з ялиною ватра догоря. Його поховають рядом з ялиною ватра догоря. Взяти у шерену стати, скаже, що то ви, і підемо волю здобувати Україні мої, і підемо волю здобувати Україні мої, нічка темна і ліс темний. На шляху чота, і ніхто не знає, що тут спочиває партизан УПА, і ніхто не знає, що тут спочиває партизан УПА. Скоро стрінку файка і з тризубом шапка ватра лісова. Побратима мого зачепила, куля вражає. Побратима мого зачепила, куля вражає.
Ви слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada.
Hello, добрий день. My name is Serhii Kaznadi in Toronto, Canada, and I am pleased to narrate Victor's Vignettes, stories about life in Soviet and post-Soviet Ukraine. These stories were written by Viktor Sergeyev, who lives in Mykolaiv, Ukraine. Viktor worked as freelance technical translator from English, but now has multiple sclerosis, which makes speaking difficult for him. But he finds great joy and a creative outlet in writing and sharing his stories online and here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. You can find Viktor's original transcripts along with his commentary and his blog, Vignettes, Life in Ukraine. Links and audio files at nashholos.com. Compulsory Steps, Growing Up Soviet. Today, I will share with you the typical Soviet childhood, based on my own life experience. In Soviet times, children went through a very rigid process of indoctrination. There were three compulsory steps required of each child in order to grow into a proper Soviet citizen. Children began their studies at the age of 7. The first step was to be admitted to a program called Oktyabryata and become known as one of the so-called October children. The name comes from October, the month in which the Bolshevik Revolution took place. The Ukrainian name for October is Zhovden. It is derived from the word for gold, the color that leaves begin to turn in this month. To my mind, Zhovden is a much prettier and more descriptive name. However, Russian was the lingua franca of the Soviet Union, and speaking other ethnic languages, especially Ukrainian, was frowned upon. In some cases, it was actually dangerous. At the beginning of Oktyabryata, we were all presented with a little badge, a red star with a picture of a blonde little boy in the center of it. None other than Vladimir Lenin, founder of the Soviet Union. Even then, at such a young age, the program struck me as odd, surreal, like some kind of silly childish game. But it was a game the authorities took very seriously. And it was only the beginning of a lifetime of such surreal games. I will never forget this propaganda nursery rhyme from my kindergarten days. Я маленькая девочка, играю и пою. Я Ленина не видела, но я его люблю. That was, of course, in Russian. There was no Ukrainian version. Russification was in full force. The English translation goes like this. I am a little girl, playing and singing. I haven't seen Lenin, but I love him. Our teachers at school constantly drilled into us, you must always write the word communist with a capital letter, and the word God with a small letter. What an ironic ideological paradox. Did they see it too? By the age of 10, and provided we studied well, we were admitted to the Young Pioneers. In the early 1920s, the Soviet regime created a pioneer organization modeled on the Western Boy Scouts organization, with the addition, of course, of stringent communist ideology. At this step, we were presented with a red necktie, called a Pionerski Galstuk, and another badge called Pionerski Znachok. On my blog, you can see a picture with all the three badges along with my original transcript. For the next 4 years, we were happy and proud to be part of the Young Pioneers. Apart from the communist indoctrination, it was a fun time, just as I imagine it was for Boy and Girl Scouts in the West. However, our necktie gave away our age. At the age of 14, every teenager wants to look older. So once we left the school grounds, we would hide the necktie. At 16, we were admitted to Komsomol, the youth division of the Communist Party. In actual fact, every teenager in the USSR from the age of 14 automatically became a Komsomol member. Only those who studied poorly or were sent to juvenile prisons, did not. children of very religious parents were also excluded. But we had to pretend we were making a conscious and enthusiastic decision to join Komsomol or not. What a decision it was. Did we want access to officially sponsored holidays? Did we want to pursue higher education? Did we want to get a good job, perhaps one with the privilege of going on business trips? As children, we were well aware that there were no tourist trips at all, even to socialist countries, for any child whose parents were not high-ranking Communist Party officials. So, did we want to live without even the small pleasures, as few and far between as they were, that came with the Communist Party membership? Well, of course, I joined Komsomol. I wanted the best life possible in that wretched system. Now I pray those days never return, and my daughter and her contemporaries will never have to endure the lunacy and absurdity the previous generation did. I hope you enjoyed this edition of Victor's Vignettes, stories from the life of Viktor Sergeyev in Mykolaiv, Ukraine. You can find Viktor's original transcripts and commentary at his blog, Vignettes, Life in Ukraine. For audio archives and links, visit www.nashholos.com. So until next time, do pobachenia!
from Winnipeg, Manitoba. That was Prairie Crocus from their CD Back Up and Push, and the Highland Chatice. And that is a folk dance that takes two or four people, and four is a lot of fun. And that's not really a traditional Ukrainian folk dance, although you probably, if you say that, you might get a lot of argument, because Ukrainians in Canada, at any rate on the prairies, have certainly adopted that as our own. So the chatice, you go to any wedding out in the country with a Ukrainian polka band, and if they don't play a chatice, they're usually going to get in trouble. Again, that was Prairie Crocus and the Highland Chatice. Нежом вже скінчила нашу програму, пора нам прощатися на ще один тиждень, бо вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Як є згода в вашій хаті, то живеться вам як у палаті. And our proverb of the week translates as, harmony transforms any house into a palace. Well, we've about run out of time, and so we have one last toe tapper for you by Mickey and Eugene from Winnipeg, and a traditional Ukrainian folk dance. This one is really a Ukrainian one. It is called Ishumet, The Wind Blows. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, do побачення.